we want to turn to his word once again, let's just put him in prayer. Ask him to open our eyes and our understanding. And that what we look at this evening might truly be a blessing and something that is pleasing to the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, that is our desire, that our time spent here now and the time that remains as we actually get into your word, I pray that we might not just speak facts, we might not just give scriptural references, go away from here with a long list of verses, but that the truth of this would minister to our hearts. That's our heart's desire. Get the glory in what's said and done. We commit this time to you and we'll thank you for being my prayer.
All right.
Andrew, let's call this one. That's a lot to consider. That's a lot to consider. We often talk about the fear of the Lord. And we always try to make sure that everybody understands when we mention this topic that we are not talking about someone cringing, shaking with fear, terror, scared to death. That is not the fear of the Lord that we're talking about. We're talking about reverence and respect, a reverence for the Lord. Having that proper attitude that when we think about Him, we even have that attitude of worship and praise for who He is. Now in Proverbs 1:7 it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning of knowledge. And as we think of this thought about this fear of the Lord, in Psalm 31:19 we read these words, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that trust Can I start over? That'd be good, wouldn't it? Because it's not making any sense. Psalm 31:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Goodness laid up for those that fear the Lord, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." And I would like us to look at some specific benefits this evening. Things that are laid up for those who fear and trust in Him before the sons of men. Let's identify that a little bit. What does that mean? Those that fear Him and trust in Him before the sons of men. What does that last phrase suggest to you about the testimony of this kind of a person? If they are fearing and trusting in Him before the sons of men, what does that suggest?
Boldness.
What's that?
Bold in your witness.
Bold in your witness.
Testimony of your life.
The testimony of your life. You know, in the New Testament, the Lord called us He tells us that we are to let our light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify our Father. The Lord, in that same passage in Matthew, said that, you know, no one lights a lamp and then hides it under a bushel. And yet, so many times, what do we as believers do with our faith in the Lord?
Hide it.
We're ashamed to say something. We're ashamed to let someone know what we believe. And I think we all know what I'm talking about, don't we? But what I want us to see tonight is there are specific benefits that the Lord said are going to be for those who fear Him and trust in Him before the sons of men, as we saw in Psalm 31:19. Well, what are some of those things? For you note takers, number one, there's pity and mercy. Pity and mercy. We're going to do a lot of looking around this evening. So get your fingers all loosened up. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. Psalm 103, 13 and 14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Mercy. Psalm 103, look at verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great or mighty is His mercy toward those who what? Fear Him, that have that right attitude in their heart toward God. Look at verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon whom? Them that fear Him. And His righteousness unto children's children. Mercy here in verse 11, verse 17, what do we mean? It has to do simply with His loving kindness toward His own. His loving kindness is great toward those who fear Him. Let's look at something else, though. Number two, prayers answered. Prayers answered. How many of you are interested in answered prayer? Sure we are. Prayers answered, or desires filled, fulfilled. Psalm 145. Psalm 145, and we look at verses 18 and 19. The Lord is nigh or near unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He will hear their cry and will save them. What does this mean? He will fulfill the desire Does that mean that he is going to give us everything we ask for? Is that what the psalmist is telling us? That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Just ask and God will give it to you. As we think of this, this word desire has to do with delight, will, or pleasure. Delight, will, he will fulfill the will. He will desire, he will fulfill the pleasure. He will fulfill the delight that one has and of those that fear him. We compare this psalm with, as far as prayers fulfilled or answered, to Psalm 37, 3 through 5. Psalm 37, 3 through 5 tells us, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself, here's that word delight again. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Here, this word, the word differs from what we saw in Psalm 145. Here the word desire comes from a word meaning a request or a desire or a petition. He will fulfill the request. He will fulfill the petition of those who trust also in him. Those that delight themselves in the Lord. And that's what we want to look at as we think about those who fear him and those who delight themselves in him. There is the benefit of desires fulfilled or prayers answered. Number three, are there any other specific benefits for those who fear him and trust in him before the sons of men? There are. We see that Scripture talks about he prolongs or promotes life. Prolongs or promotes life. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 10, in verse 27, we read this. It says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Can you think of any benefit that perhaps Solomon might be talking about and how this might work? How can the fear of the Lord prolong days, as opposed to days or years be shortened in the life of a wicked person? Sometimes a wicked person gets themselves involved in what? Things that are going to be hazardous, harmful, dangerous, foolish, sinful, and many times these do what? They shorten the life, don't they? Someone thinks that going out and getting themselves drunk with their friends is really living it up. But how many times they end up in a serious automobile accident on the way home, and what happens? Many times their life is what? Short. But the fear of the Lord, what's that have to do with it? If a person has the right respect, the right heart, the right attitude toward the things of the Lord, Are they going to be out boozing it up at night? No. Their fear of the Lord has led them to make different choices with their life, which often results in prolonged days. Proverbs 14:27. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Or really, the fear of the Lord is, it's the source, it's where life comes from for a believer, isn't it? And it just keeps overflowing. The fear of the Lord and the things of the Lord are what gives us life. And it's what makes life worth living, isn't it? A fountain of life. A fountain is suggestive of what? Something that is ever fresh, ever refreshing. A fountain is not like a stagnant pool, is it? There's a world of difference between a fountain and a stagnant pool. The fear of the Lord prolongs or promotes life. Proverbs 19:23. Proverbs 19:23 tells us the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. So we see here the fear of the Lord prolongs or tends toward life. Let's look at the fourth specific benefit as we continue on this evening. The fear of the Lord pacifies or satisfies a person. We just looked at Proverbs 19:23. I read it again. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall what? Abide satisfied. It's going to meet the needs of your heart and mind when we have that right relationship with the Lord. How many people in our world today know what it is to be satisfied with life? Many or few? Very few. But you know, a right relationship with the Lord and a right reverence and a right respect for Him comes with the promise of the fact that the Lord will satisfy our life. Is that true in you? I trust it is. Proverbs 15:16. It tells us this. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Doesn't that sound like a satisfied life? Better is little with the fear of the Lord than to have great treasures and all the trouble that comes with them. Here's a question for you. When we talk about needs, if you have the Lord, what more do you need? If we have the Lord, we have everything we need, don't we? Oh, that's not to say that when you get hungry, the Lord is going to take the hunger pains away. But I'm talking about the things that really matter. If we have the Lord, it doesn't matter whether we have all the things that other people seek after. And that's why Solomon said, better is little with the fear of the Lord than to have great treasure. You're not poor, you're not doing without, but all the trouble that comes with it. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord. The benefit that we see is the fact that for one who truly fears the Lord and trusts in Him before the sons of men, we see that the Lord provides. There are riches, honor, life. He meets the needs of that individual. We could use the word provides, number five. He provides. Provides what? Well, we looked at this a few moments ago in Psalm 33, 18 and 19. I misspoke. We're going to look at this verse on the next point. We haven't looked at it yet, but we will. Psalm 33, 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Provision. The Lord provides. Keep them alive in famine. The Lord cares for His own, watches over them. Psalm 34, verse 9. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want. Actually, that word means lack. There is no lack to them that fear Him. Again, this is... You say, well, it sounds like He's just got a blank check written here. You know, there's no one to them that fear Him. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying that the Lord has promised to meet the needs of those who fear Him. He's not going to give them every whim, every wish, every desire, but He will provide what they need. Gary and I have witnessed God's provision for us from the day we got married. We often laugh and talk about, we were 20 years old when we got married. We weren't even dry behind the ears yet. We didn't have a clue what life was about. I mean, I had a job, I had a youth position offered to me at Forest Avenue Baptist in Ipsy. Graduated on Friday night, got married on Saturday night, and 2 weeks later, I was youth pastor at Forest Avenue Baptist, ready to take on the world. In those first few years, we were there for 3.5 years. Do you know that money went through our hands like water? We didn't have any indication, any inclination about, you know, it'd be wise to save some money once in a while. If we had it, we spent it. And then we'd throw our arms up in despair when the bill would come in that we weren't expecting, and oh my, what are we going to do? We moved to St. Louis, and one of the best things the Lord did for us was the chairman of the board of the church that I, my first pastor at, he worked for a bank there in St. Louis. We had not been there long, and he said, "Pastor, I'd like to sit down and talk with you about budgeting your finances." Budgeting. I'd heard that word before. I didn't know what it meant. And he sat down and he taught us the method of budgeting our money that to this very day we still use. What's your point, Pastor? That little church couldn't afford to pay us much that hired me as their pastor down there. And the thing that Charles taught me is every paycheck you sit down with your budget and your little budget book here, you have a page for everything that obligations and things that you, maybe bills that come, maybe they come up once a quarter. Well, if you get three checks in a quarter, that means each check you get, you need to put a third of what that bill is going to be budgeted, put it away in savings, so that when that bill is due, you have that money set aside. We did that. We did that faithfully. But my point is, many times, my wife did not have much left at all. After I sat down, when I got paid, and filled out page after page in the budget book, what was left was what she would go to the grocery store with and buy groceries with. We talk about it sometimes, and we think, my word, couldn't do it on the same thing, the same dollar figure back there in 1972 and in 2022. Things have changed, inflation, the price of living and everything, but my point is, there is no lack to those who fear Him. I can tell you that there was not one day ever that it came meal time that we sat down and my wife would walk in from the kitchen and say, "I'm sorry, Jerry. I'm sorry, Kim. I'm sorry, Christy. But we don't have any food for this meal." Our God is good. That doesn't mean that we had prime ribs. That doesn't mean that we had the most expensive meals. In fact, we kept, I think it was at Swanson Frozen, those things in those aluminum foil. Is that what it was?
Pot pies.
Those pot pies, five for a dollar. Remember way back then? I know some of you are so young, you're thinking, I remember that. But that's what we bought, five of those little babies for a dollar. We lived on things like that. But the point is, God takes care of His own. there is specific blessing to those that fear Him. He will not forsake His own. And He faithfully provided for us. There is no lack to them that fear Him. Psalm 111, verse 5. Psalm 111, verse 5 tells us this. He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. Yes, God cares for His own. Number six, He protects. He protects. Psalm 34, verse 7. It says that the angel of the Lord encampeth or circles round about whom? Those that fear and delivereth them. Can that do your heart good to know that the Lord protects and cares for His own? Why, it says there's even, He even has an angel around that encamps round about who? Those that fear Him. Those that have given Him the right place in their heart. They give Him the right reverence, the right respect. We already looked at 33, 18, and 19, but we look at it again. The eye of the Lord in verse 30, in chapter 33, 18, and 19. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy to deliver their soul from death. Back up a couple of Psalms to 31, 19, and 20, and we read this. Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Well, that's our starting verse, isn't it? Verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Yes, when there are those that would try to make life miserable for us, the Lord has promised to take care of us. Seven, finally, last one. Our posterity benefits. Our posterity benefits. What's that mean? There's a blessing to our children and those who follow us. Psalm 25, look at 12 through 14. Psalm 25, 12 through 14. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Direction. God gives direction for our life. That's just an added one. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. There's blessing to the offspring of the one who fears the Lord. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. He will give, once again, direction, understanding. Psalm 103, verse 17. Psalm 103, back to verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. Finally, in Proverbs 14, verse 26, it says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Yes, our posterity benefits. As we review this, what are these specific benefits? There's pity and mercy to those who fear the Lord. Prayers answered. The Lord prolongs or promotes life. He pacifies or satisfies one who fears him. He provides, he protects. And yes, our children, our offspring benefit. With all of these above benefits, there's something we have to be careful about. And what is that, Pastor? We need to exercise great care so that our love for God and fear of the Lord is not connected simply to a selfish motive for all the benefits that I'm going to get from Him. That's why we fear the Lord. If that's why we love Him, then we're on the wrong track. We do praise God for the discovery that God blesses in specific ways those who fear Him. But may those ways never be our main motivation. Let's stand and close in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, for this time of just looking at many verses, many suggestions, many truths that were brought to the light here. But I do pray that you would help each of us, that we would not just so get enthralled with the benefits, though they are so many. May we truly love and fear you for the right reason, for who you are, and what you have done for us. I pray, Lord, that these truths would find proper place in our hearts, take us safely to our homes, and we'll thank you in your name, I pray.